I think we are good to go. You have a backup recording, Adam? You said it's going?
Yep, it's running. Okay,
fantastic. Let's get this wagon rolling. You might want to cover your ears for this, Adam.
We're all right.
Hello, and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm back with the bearded beauty himself, Buster Heine. Buster, hey.
Hey, man.
Been a little bit?
Oh, dude, my beard's bigger and just so happy to be here. Yeah.
That's good to hear. We're also joined by a very special guest, Adam Christensen from MacCast. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on such short notice because I didn't really give you a ton of time. I mean, we pretty much just talked about this last week.
Yeah, you grab me on Twitter and no problem.
That's right. Well, normally it takes months of coercing to get guests on. So when I talk to you and you're like, yeah, I'll do it. I was like, really? Is that going to be that easy, huh?
Going to be that easy. Yeah. Fantastic. I was honored, actually.
Yeah, well, we're honored to have you. So thanks for coming on. I want to give a shout out and a big thanks to Squarespace.com. If you need a website, boy, oh boy, do you need to check out Squarespace.com. They have excellent, excellent web hosting. And the thing about Squarespace is it's just about the easiest way to build a website. You barely have to touch any code. Well, in fact, you don't have to touch any code if you don't want to. And really great customer service, cloud infrastructure, so your site's scalable. Not only that, but your website's going to look great on every device that visits your website because they scale all your images and everything for you. Go check them out, squarespace.com. And sign up for the free trial. You get a 2-week free trial. They don't even ask for your credit card number. They're just going to give you a website to play around with. And we'll tell you a little bit more about them later in the show. And plus how you can save 10% off a month of hosting, a year of hosting, your choice. Hey, let's start with a quick CallCast shout. This one goes out to Alan Perez at Delta Strike. There you go, Alan. He says he's been trying for a CallCast shout for more than a year. And actually,
more than a year?
I know Alan's name because we talk on Twitter all the time.
Oh.
He says he hopes for one every episode. He says he sits with his fingers crossed and just keeps his eyes closed and his teeth clenched. I added that last part.
What? That's some power that you have right there.
That's right.
Just picture him sitting there, quick and refresh on his RSS for the podcast. Like, where's the new show? Where's the new show? Arr, not again.
Foiled again. He shakes his fist in the air. There you go, Alan. Thank you for keeping tuned in every week for the last, gosh, what is this, episode 83 or 84 now? So we really appreciate you listening. If you guys want a CallCast shout, just tweet at me. Use the hashtag CallCast shout, and we'll try to give you one of those on an upcoming show. Alan, I love you.
Aw, so sweet.
Thank you. Hey, before we hop on the news cruise and start talking about this week's news, Adam, I would love to hear about the MacCast a little bit because you and I met at Mac World this year,
yep.
And we just kind of bumped into each other randomly. And
Hyper Booth, I think it was.
I think you're right. Yeah, that is where it was. And
Hyper,
I was
what is I can never remember the name of that company anymore.
Hyper
they
Juice.
Changed it.
Hyper Booth Juice.
Are they now?
Oh,
Hyper
Juice.
I think
Hyper.
They changed it.
Oh, did they?
I think they're just Hyper.
Okay. I remember them from CES because they had that big booth with all the naked ladies in it. And all the guys, the guys in the body paint or the girls in the body paint, and all the guys were walking around trying to pretend like they're looking at gadgets.
I did a story on it because it's like just the most awkward booth at CES with those naked girls, and you know you're supposed to pretend. Oh, I'm not looking.
Ah, I'm just here to look at the battery packs.
Battery pack, man. Oh, it's amazing.
Ah, look at the capacity on this battery pack. And they were totally nude. I mean,
oh yeah,
like paint and some band-aids, if I remember correctly.
Well, you guys missed. Were you probably went around? So we used to have Podcast Expo, and there was an epic party that Libsyn put on, and they had body paint guy there who actually did a body paint podcast, and he was just randomly body painting people.
Wait, it was a body. Oh, okay. It was a body, a guy doing body paint, not a body paint guy. Major well, difference.
No, no, not a body painted guy. A okay. guy who does.
That would be so.
Who's the actual painter?
Uh-huh. And,
he was painting people at that party.
Now there's a guy I would love to have on the podcast. How do you get into that line of work?
I don't know.
There's an interesting story.
Maybe he was at CEA. Maybe he's the guy. At CEA.
Yeah, maybe he was. Yeah, he's making like 200K a year painting bodies for CES. Works like a few months a year. Anyway, Mattcast. Let's bring it back to Mattcast. You and I started talking about microphones just randomly, and fast forward. I think I don't know. Maybe 8 months. How long are we away from that now? And I actually saw your podcast in the iTunes. I think top something. For technology podcast, and I recognized your little icon. For those who haven't seen it, it's like an old school Mac classic who has a little goofy face. Mm-hmm. And I listened to it, and it was fantastic. Fantastic. And it's just you. I mean,
just me.
It's just you with no one else on the show.
I'm the last podcaster on the planet, I think. Yeah. Had I had it to do all over again, I might rethink that decision. But when I started, there was nobody else to actually do a podcast with.
Yeah, so you've been doing this for how long?
Since 2004.
Wow. So really since podcasting really kind of took off.
9 years. Yeah, I think it kind of started in, you know, summer 2004. There were, you know, that's when Adam Curry was kind of starting to push it, and I mean, we didn't even have there was no directory. Like you kind of it was like all this whole underground kind of thing. You had to like know where to go to get the feeds and find the RSS, and there was no iTunes. There were a couple guys making some sort of cobbled together AppleScript style podcatchers so you could actually, you know, get the MP3 files. And, yeah.
And now iTunes is at a billion subscriptions.
And now iTunes is at a billion. Yeah. So
just subscriptions. I mean, my gosh, look how many episodes that must be. And what episode are you on?
I just did, I think 358, something like that.
Wow.
I can't remember. I have to go look on the website. I can never keep track.
Your notes have got to be, you must have pages and pages and pages of notes because you just go from topic to topic to topic to topic. I mean, it's very organized. Yeah. It's basically the opposite of this show. You are basically the opposite of what this show does. It's full of great content. It's organized. Do you sit there with notes and just do your show?
Yeah, I do. I do an outline. You know, I just basically run through the news feed. So this show consists of me doing kind of news analysis and just talking about kind of the top stories of the week. And then really it became this sort of community thing. So I've always been involved with Mac user groups and things like that. And I like that experience. And so I tried to sort of recreate that in the spirit of the show. So we try and answer questions and help people out with tech topics and, you know, hey, my Mac is doing this. You know, do you know how to fix it? Or what's a good app for, you know, what's a good drawing app on the iPad? Or I need a note taking app for my Mac, that kind of stuff. So we'll try and answer people's questions and just get them help. That sort of stuff.
And you said that each episode started at about 10 or 15 minutes daily and now it's swollen.
Yeah, I mean, so when I originally started it, I had like an hour commute and I was getting into podcasts because it was a way to pass the time. And so I'd get into work and I'd be running through all the news feeds and, you know, checking Cult-O-Mac, checking Mac Observer, checking Ars Technica, all the places that we go to get the news. And I realized, wow, I'm like wasting all this time reading this stuff now. If someone could just read it to me on my drive, that would be awesome. So I thought, you know, I'll do a daily news show and just summarize sort of the top stories of the day. And then I started almost immediately getting feedback and people were asking questions. And so it just naturally sort of evolved into the show that it is now. And I like it a lot better now. It's longer format and less frequent, but you know, it's more, I think, in the spirit of sort of what I wanted to do. So,
well, for anyone who hasn't heard it, go check it out. It's on iTunes, Mattcast, MACCAST. And boy, I just think it's great. So I'm one of your new listeners as well.
And I didn't get the single C because back then I think there was a MP3 player app that was like Mattcast. It was like when Winamp and MacAmp and all those players were around.
I kind of like it with two C's though.
Yeah, it makes more sense. More sense with two C's, but just an interesting side note. I did try and like get the one C domain originally, but it was taken.
McCast.
Yeah, that's how people would end up saying it. They're like, I think it's a show about Scottish stuff, you know, like culture, the McCast. You should check it out. All right, well, speaking of Apple stuff, let's hop into the news, shall we? Onto the news cruise, as I say. Let's talk about the iPhone 5C, which is not technically its name that we know of yet, but that's what people are calling it. It's the low-cost iPhone. And as
I'm calling it the nonprofit iPhone.
I like that, actually, the 5C. Some people were speculating like it might be C for cheap. Yeah, that's right. I think yours is probably more probable than the iPhone 5 cheap. For some reason, I don't think that's the way Apple's going
to
go.
Right? It's supposed to be C for colors.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Or C for cheap. No, colors.
cheap colors. Maybe it's going to be the CC. But
if those colors are the actual colors, I'm just like, oh, we're going back to the 80s or what's going on?
It's like they do with the iPod Nanos, though. You know, it's just like the fun product, I feel, is like what it's going to be, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right. The one that's super fun. You have people dancing in the commercials, talking to their besties.
Yeah, and I think that's what's going to happen. You know, you have the iPod. You had the iPod Classic, and then the iPod, you know, Nano, and then the iPod Touch, and then you have the iPod Nano that's now touchscreen and everything. I think like the iPod C or the iPhone 5C will kind of be like the fun one that they kind of remix every year. At least they come out with new colors for it and stuff like that for people who just are never satisfied.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. Well, the cases showed up already on Amazon, and people were excited about that because they took that as, oh my gosh, that means we're going to get the iPhone 5C. But I immediately thought of the iPhone 5. Remember when all those case manufacturers were creating?
Oh.
I'm sorry, the 4S. And we thought for sure we were getting the iPhone 5 then.
iPhone 5, yeah.
And all these manufacturers had to incinerate thousands of pounds worth of cases. When that turned out not to be true, so just because they turned up on Amazon really doesn't mean anything.
Right.
But it kind of looks like we're definitely...
It sounds like it's pretty much a sure thing, man.
I think so, too. And there was a rumor recently that we were going to see both an updated, the 5C and then the 5S on September 6th. In fact, I saw my local news report on this stuff. It's always fun watching them read these things on the news because they're just hearing it from some tech feed probably.
Right.
And they're like, iPhone 5S reportedly coming September 6th. Well, that came from German site iFun, the iFunnest Apple blog on the internet. But it was debunked quickly by Jim Dalrymple, who just said, nope. That's all he said.
Negative.
He just said no.
That's a pretty much guarantee. That's not the
Isn't it crazy? Yeah. So for those that don't read theloopinsight.com, isn't it crazy that Jim can just – people look to him for confirmations, and he's so well connected, at least he seems to be, that he just – one word. I mean, he's the only guy that can sell ads on a blog where the posts are just one word. That's all it is.
Right.
He does those posts quite often. I mean, several times a year. And he just has one word, and he probably gets like 50,000 hits for people to visit the Nope. Do we That's have awesome. Any idea what his secrets are, Adam?
What his secrets are?
Any idea?
He's been around for a long time. Yeah. And you just build up those relationships.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you've been doing it for 30 years like he has, then you know a lot of people.
He must know all the people.
Oh.
Well, we got an image leaked also. That showed a bunch of iPhone 5C packages, and they looked legit at first. But Buster, this might have been your story. This was debunked as well.
Oh, the iPhone 5C packages?
Yeah, exactly.
It was debunked. And then also the debunk was debunked. So I don't even know what.
Oh, really? Whoa.
Yeah. That's somebody
double,
else.
Double bunk.
They got double debunked.
That's according to some. I can't remember where I read the debunk of the debunk.
Double bunking. That's that's rare in the tech world,
right?
Well, it looks like that was at least at first debunked by Steve over at nowhere else.fr. I feel like when we start seeing all of these rumors coming out faster and faster and faster, that's usually a great indicator that we are indeed going to see some type of cheaper iPhone.
Right.
And then there's this story from Pegatron, who is one of Apple's iPhone manufacturers. This is actually kind of funny.
The best manufacturer, in my opinion.
What's that?
The best manufacturer, in my opinion, with a name like Pegatron.
Pegatron, yeah. Yeah, that's a great name. It's like a robotic Pegasus. That's the first thing I think of. Let me read you this little bit real fast. As part of an investigation against Pegatron by the China Labor Watch, excuse me, three moles were inserted into Pegatron's factories to gauge working conditions. And one of these workers was apparently assigned to manufacture Apple's forthcoming plastic iPhone, saying when he was reporting on the work he was doing, "Today's work is to paste protective film on the iPhone's plastic back cover to prevent it from being scratched." And this was, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, in a report that was issued about working conditions in Pegatron.
Yep. Yep.
And this is kind of a sure thing now, right? That indeed we are getting a cheaper, low cost iPhone with a plastic back.
Right.
Yeah.
We're all in agreement?
Yeah. No, I think so.
We're like the ring in Lord of the Rings.
And the cheaper's this relative term. And I mean, to me, this makes a whole heck of a lot of sense for Apple to be doing it now.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of people. They've pretty much saturated the market for those of us who are going to buy the 5S, you know, the top of the line stuff, the premium stuff. And they have this whole group of customers who are on the fence, right? They're looking at the iPhone, they're looking at all these Android devices, and they're at that $99 free, $199 sort of price range. And Apple's been doing really well, especially outside the US, according to recent reports, with the 4S and the 4 at that price point. But when you're buying that as a consumer, there's that whole mental thing, right? Oh, I'm getting last year's model or the old model. So what's genius to me about this low-cost iPhone is I don't think it's going to be that low-cost from the rumors we've been hearing. So I'm guessing $199 when it launches, subsidized.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like,
oh, really?
Now,
you think it'll be that high, subsidized?
Oh,
yeah, because they're saying $300 unsubsidized. Yeah, so.
Interesting. And, sorry, continue.
Yeah, sorry, and I was just going to say, the point is that for a consumer walking in, it's like, well, now you can get the new iPhone even though it's internally it's going to be exactly the same as the 5.
No, I completely agree with you on that. And I think that's the whole point of it, is so people have that new thing. I think it's kind of when like people complain about like the iPhone 5 or like the iPhone 4S wasn't like a complete redesign, you know? I think that's really what it'll appeal to.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. I think this is exactly why Apple has to do this, because, you know, in the mobile market, new devices get so much attention. I would imagine it's kind of hard to say, oh, well, we have this brand new device, but here, you can also buy this old hat device that is probably still great, but when it's been around for a year, 2 years, it's kind of hard to market it as this really cool new product that is still great. It's kind of a hard sales point. It's still good.
Still great. But you got to get people over that hurdle of, well, I don't want to buy the old one. I want the new one.
Right.
And so why don't I just get this new Android one that's brand new? It just came out. You know, why am I going to buy last year's phone? And now they have something to sell them. They can be like, well, this is the brand new phone.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right? And as you said, Adam, they stuff the current technology, or I should say the one generation older technology, into a shiny plastic case. And because people don't know what's in their phone, right? Only guys like us keep track of that stuff.
Right, exactly. And it's going to perform, you know, awesome. And you get the new operating system on it. So you got new operating system, iPhone 5 guts in there. And it's going to perform great. It's going to be awesome. People are going to love it. So it'll get great reviews and they'll sell a ton of them through the holidays.
Oh, yeah. And it'll be available in all the colors that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Bright green, bright pink. Baby blue.
Well, that neon stuff is coming back. I feel like it's the 80s all over again.
Oh,
like,
I hope so. I would love to have a neon green or a neon orange phone.
Really?
Yeah, I really would. No. I really would, yeah.
The thing is,
you're going to have the opportunity.
It's going to match my shirt, my jeans, my shoes. Buster, are you going to say
checkerboard
something?
Checkerboard Vans.
No, man.
Go to town.
Hey, speaking of new OSs, I want to talk about iOS Beta 4, which was just seeded to devs, and that's going to be the heart of whatever new iPhone you get come September or October, whenever they're released. So I wanted to talk about some of the new features and then also some of the hidden infos that were discovered inside the new beta. But before we do that, let's talk about – excuse me while I lose my voice. Let's talk about Squarespace. I want to tell you guys a little bit more about Squarespace. I love having them as a sponsor because they really have a wonderful, wonderful product. If you are looking to build a website – you absolutely need to give Squarespace a shot. That two-week free trial is just so easy to sign up for. Just squarespace.com, email address, boom, you're up and running. But what makes Squarespace so much different than other web hosts out there is how easy their product is to use. With a lot of web hosts, and I've used probably four or five in my lifetime. Adam, I'm sure you have too, being a developer.
Yeah.
Their backends look like crap. Their front ends usually look great because that's what the consumer sees. But Squarespace pays attention to the details, and they make it so that you really don't have to touch any code at all if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Everything is template-driven, so you just pick a template that you want, and you can customize it all without having to touch any code. You can tweak the colors, the layouts, that type of thing. And you can add content really easily, especially their image galleries are fantastic. There was one woman I was talking to years ago. She was a photographer, and she had a really beautiful gallery, and I was asking her how she put this thing together. And I thought she was a developer, and she told me she could do it for me, and I was like thinking about paying her. And then she started talking about Squarespace. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. You're just using a Squarespace template? Like, I'm not paying you to do that for me.
Oh, that's great.
And it did.
You can do it yourself.
You can do it yourself.
That's the awesome thing about those guys, you know, about Squarespace. And being a developer, you know, you mentioned you don't have to touch the code, but if you want to, you really can get in there and you can tweak it and you can really customize it and go as far as you want or do as little as you want. And that the flexibility is what's really, I think, cool about that platform is you start with a template, but you can ultimately end up with a site that doesn't look like someone else's site, even when they're using the same template.
That's a great point. And not only that, as I mentioned at the start of the show, when you create a site using their templates, they automatically scale everything for you, which, as far as I'm aware, no other site does. So if somebody visits your website on their iPhone, on an iPad, on a Mac, Squarespace, behind the scenes, does a bunch of magic, does a bunch of calculations, and spits out your website looking great for that device without you having to do any work.
Yeah,
the buzzword
is responsive. A lot of my clients are paying me to do that to their sites now.
Oh, to custom do that for them, huh?
Yeah.
Quote-unquote, you're like, let me set you up with a Squarespace site.
To mobile. Well, sometimes, I mean, depending upon what their budget is, that sometimes is honestly the answer. It's like, have you even considered Squarespace? You know, because it's really affordable and you can get up and running very quickly. So dependent upon the needs, yeah.
There you have it from a developer. Scalable cloud infrastructure as well, so your site's going to be stable. You know, there's just no reason not to try Squarespace. And now if you need an e-commerce website, they do that too for only $25 a month. Head over to squarespace.com, sign up for the trial. And if you decide you want to purchase a month of service, a year of service, you can save 10% off your order. Just enter the code CULTCAST8, that's CULTCAST, and the numeral 8. Want to thank Squarespace for sponsoring the show. Love the guys at Squarespace. Nice guys, too. Whenever I have to talk to them, they never yell at me. They're always pleasant. I get yelled at a lot, so I really appreciate that. Let's talk about iOS Beta 4. So I put this in the notes we're all looking at. 11 changes made in iOS 7 Beta 4. But
just 11?
Only, well, maybe 11 major ones. These changes are always a little difficult to describe with any sort of... interesting descriptions because they're always
very small changes.
They're very small.
Not really going to notice too much of a
lock
lot of
screen's
times.
Been tweaked.
Yeah.
You could just do what I do is, you know, look at the article that Buster wrote up. Is this Buster's? Oh, yeah. Your images, maybe.
I believe this is Alex's. Let's
Alex might have written this last.
Although Buster writes a beautiful.
You know where I got thrown off? There's a chat message, and looks like maybe he was chatting to you.
He's like, hey, make sure you give me credit for that article you're reading.
Yeah, man. Jeez.
Well, this is one of the most popular. This is one of the most popular stories of the week on Cult to Mac, and I just encourage you to go search for it. It's 11 changes Apple made in iOS beta 4. So you can look at the pretty images. Really, that's what you're going to need to do. But this one looks pretty exciting. The HDR button was moved.
Oh, yeah.
Camera app.
That's important.
Here's a really important one. The phone buttons were changed. They were made to be a little more squared off. Let's see here. Uh-oh.
Wait, the round phone buttons are now more square? Yeah.
Let me see here. Phone buttons changed.
Yeah, they made it so it's like the bottom bar on the call button is in like the strip on the bottom. Now it's a button.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
Are you using iOS beta 4 yet, Adam?
I couldn't tell you if I was, could I?
Point. You can neither confirm nor deny. Although now that you mention it, we talk about it all the time. No one's ever brought up that issue.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on if they're in the developer program or not. I will say I'm in the developer program.
Okay. Well, now we can't claim ignorance either. Shoot. Well, you're also going to be able to swipe between notification center panels. Let's see here. Any other? Oh, Siri's going to make even more suggestions than she did before. Let's hope that she understands what I was saying in the first place.
And she sounds even smoother. It seems like each beta update, Siri keeps sounding even better, man. They're making her sound not like a robot, which is pretty good.
Really?
Yeah. It's great now.
Oh, Microsoft is going to love that.
Curious to try some of these because, like, one is I think a lot of these look like things that you would normally get a Wolfram Alpha response from, which would be just text. I'm wondering if she can actually read back the responses for things like, you know, how many dollars in 45 euros, that sort of stuff,
and make actual calculations.
Let's see.
Well, yeah, it would always come back in the current version. You ask those questions, and what you get is a Wolfram Alpha response, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just that, hey, I found this on Wolfram Alpha, and you got to read the screen.
Actually, she converts it straight up. 45 euros converts to about 59.7.
She'll read
euros.
It back to you. Yeah, that's,
she read that back.
Do a lot more of that.
It's got a new screen that doesn't just have the... It's by Wolfram Alpha, but it looks more native on the iPhone now.
And they're doing a lot of that with a lot of the results. So now you don't have to look at your screen, which is big for me because a lot of times I'll be in the car or whatever and I just want to get a bit of information. And it's like terrible when it comes back. It's like, oh, do you want me to search the web for that?
Yeah right.
Oh, I don't want to unlock my device right now.
Yeah. Or you ask about something that's red and Siri's like, do you want to go to bed? And you spend, at least for me, I'm going to try not to rage here, 5 minutes trying to get Siri to understand what you're saying. Do you have that problem? Because a lot of our listeners have been like, Irfan, it's literally just you.
My dad understands me perfectly. My dad, they took a trip to San Francisco like this weekend. He told me like they were in Monterey and he asked her to tell him like how to get back to San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And she took him like he wasn't paying attention. He just figured it would work because it's, Apple's backyard. And he just followed her directions. She took him like 40 miles away and like they were on their way to Columbus for some reason.
See, I mean, for guys like us, I think that since we understand Siri a little bit more than maybe the average user or, the moms or dads out there that really don't follow Apple at all, you probably realize, oh, my gosh, I'm not going the right way. I heard this could be a problem. But for somebody that didn't know not to put all their trust in Siri, you could really end up in a bad place.
Yeah.
I've said that what they really need to focus on now because, like, the voice recognition and translation and stuff is pretty accurate. I've been in some pretty hairy situations with like room noise and things like that and been amazed at how accurate she is in just figuring out the exact words that I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Where Apple needs to spend a lot of time and effort, I think, is in the processing and the understanding of the context of what's being asked and not just doing it from, like how the sentence is put together, but more the other bits of information that Siri has access to. So, Apple could be aggregating email information and my contacts and all kinds of stuff. So like in it, like you're saying, but, in the case of your dad, she knows he's near San Francisco, right? So it's just like,
one would hope
you could probably immediately rule out Columbus as a possible destination at this point, right?
You would think, yes, you would think that would make a lot of sense.
Like, you just throw that out. You don't even have to like. Yep. That's just dumb. Like,
he's not going to another state. He doesn't want to drive across the ocean. Those are all valid assumptions. Yeah. Well, I know Apple is assembling a crack whip team of speech people over in Boston in a new office. And hopefully they're going to be working on just this type of thing. And a lot of the guys that they were hiring, it seemed like, were old employees of Nuance, who does the, well, I guess the speech recognition for a lot of companies out there, including Apple. Am I right about that?
Yeah. It was some company that, Nuance had acquired in like 2007. And I don't remember the specifics of that company. But what my hope would be that they're bringing those people on board, not to just do like this text to speech or speech to text kind of stuff, but more on this, hey, let's take this aggregate data and this information and make just Siri in general smarter. And also, they need to look at what Google's doing with Google Now and a lot more of the preemptive kind of stuff, where, again, Google's finally taking all that data they've been stealing on me for years.
You mean collecting. Yeah.
Collecting. And they're using it for good. I mean, they really are. I had a situation happen where I had some flight information, and I was, doing a Google search, and literally I started to type in the name of the airline that I was flying on. And before I even got the whole, American Airlines, I just started typing American, and Google knew that I was going to be flying because I had trip information, I think in TripIt or something like that. And it just returned like, oh, here's the flight. Like, my flight showed up as the first result in a little tab, or what do they call those things? A little card.
Right.
And it's like, oh, it's on time. I didn't even have to go to American's website. I didn't have to find anything else. It just was boom, right there. And it was creepy, and I was a little freaked out about it at first. But then at the same time, I'm like, well, that's the information I wanted, and I saved a heck of a lot of time. So I think I'm actually kind of okay with that.
Yeah, I am too. As long as they use it for cool features like that, and the predictive stuff that Google does really is awesome.
Yeah,
and it just goes to show, the differences between Apple and Google, in that Google's a data company and Apple's not, and that's really apparent when you use, products like, features like Siri and stuff. And there are little things like that that, she just doesn't get right, or Apple Maps doesn't get right.
But Apple can keep it closed. What I like about Apple doing it is they don't necessarily have to make money off of that information the way that Google does. I mean, Google's bread and butter is made by that data, whereas Apple, it's selling you the hardware and the technology and the software. And so they can kind of keep that closed in. And so I would feel more comfortable with Apple doing that kind of stuff than I am with Google.
Well, does the whole data thing, in the fact that everyone's collecting your data, bother you? Because this is something that I always hear: privacy, 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 and people are upset about Facebook taking their data. They're upset about Google taking their data. I guess for me, I just don't really care. I'm kind of like, where you're one number in a billion. Like, what are they going to do with your data? Or how are they going to violate your privacy? Does that bother either of you guys?
It does. Yeah.
Does it really?
Not because I have, like, I'm afraid of them touching it, but I just what the ramifications of that can be on just society in general, when, somebody's looking at all your stuff. I don't know. I just I think it's uncomfortable, but
I don't worry about it too much because I often make it available to those guys. Check-ins, and like I've opted into a lot of stuff, but I know what I'm doing. It worries me more for the people like my mom or other people who don't really know hey, I signed up for Facebook because my kids told me to get on Facebook, and now Facebook's profiling her.
Your parents put everything on there. Some people and they don't know the information that they're putting on there is available to everybody, and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
The honest truth for me is I get more annoyed, and I'm more concerned when I see an ad on Facebook or Google that doesn't pertain to my interests. than I am when I hear about the government taking my data.
You know,
I don't care about the government, but if you show me an ad for knitting products, I get pissed.
I'm again mostly irked about them not using the information that I'm allowing them to collect intelligently. This is the same thing as I was mentioning with Siri. So I go every month online to pay my insurance bill. And so I go to State Farm. I log in about the same time every month. I go there. Like, they know, they're watching the traffic because it's in Google Analytics. Right. And for, I kid you not, for the next week, the Google ads that I will see are for my insurance company that I'm already, you know,
already
a customer of. It's like, you don't have to sell me this. Why aren't you showing me Geico ads? Like, at least if you're going to collect the information, you knew that I went there, obviously, because I'm seeing these ads now. So can you be a little smarter about it?
And that bugs me too. Yeah. I use Spotify, and I recently went from the premium service to the free service because I haven't been using it very much. And they keep showing me the, you can, you know, get a month of free premium service if you click this button, and then you click it and they always say, oh, sorry, you've already used it. But they show me that freaking ad 20 times a day. And they will not just, I'm like, show me a McDonald's ad, just something different than this, because I can't do anything with this. And they dark out the entire app so that you have to stare at the ad.
Yeah. So I'm all for Google and Apple. I mean, if they're going to have the information and they do, let's use it in really helpful ways that are going to help make my technology life better. And then I'm going to be even more okay with them collecting it, because I'll be like, oh, well, you know, they knew what flight information I was looking for.
So. And they actually did something useful with it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's talk about the continuing with iOS 7 beta 4. This was really interesting. So a lot of talk around fingerprint recognition. We've been talking about this for, I feel like, a year.
Oh, longer than that. It's been like 2 to 3 years that Apple's going to put a fingerprint sensor on the iPhone.
Let's just throw in an NFC for good.
Okay, yeah. Good yes, thank you. I wouldn't want to leave that out, because eventually we're going to get NFC, maybe. So.
No.
Probably not. Yeah, I always say, what's the point? Like, what are we going to do with NFC here in the U.S.?
But I know, right?
What are we going to do with it? If they put it in your phone right this moment, what would you do with it?
But the thing is with NFC, kind of like smart Bluetooth or low-power Bluetooth really replaces, like, the need for NFC in a lot of ways if you keep it on. So I just don't even think NFC is ever going to catch on in the U.S. I just think Bluetooth's going to pass it.
That came up with the Apple TV update, right, on iOS 7. There's some sort of weird thing where you can now configure your Apple TV by tapping your phone to it, or putting your phone by it with Bluetooth.
Right. Supposedly. I haven't tried it out, but something like that.
Well, maybe this will tie into that whole security thing somehow as far as payments are concerned. So I'm going to go with a developer named Hamza Sood discovered in iOS 7 Beta 4 that there was a string in there that talked about putting a fingerprint sensor underneath the home button of the iPhone 5S. And let's see, it made reference to an iOS 7 tutorial which will reference a photo of a person holding an iPhone in their right hand while touching the home button with their thumb, and a fingerprint that changes color during the setup process. We don't know if this is going to end up in the 5S, although it kind of sounds like it might, but who knows when it will actually show up. But Adam, any thoughts on, or anything that you'd like to see them using fingerprint authentication for?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just if I never have to plug in my, you know, 4-digit code ever again, that's awesome.
So if you have to swipe to unlock, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking out loud here. Would you touch the home screen with your thumb and then slide to unlock with the other finger on the other hand?
I don't think you'd even have to do that.
I think
you think you would just touch it?
Yeah. Touch the home button and it would unlock.
Open it up, yeah.
That would be pretty cool, because I don't enjoy typing in that 4-digit code either.
The only thing that blows away, though, in where they might not be able to get away with that is in iOS, right? You can, if you have a notification there, you can slide across the notification to jump right to that. So it might end up having to be almost a 2-step process, because you're going to want to hold the button down. That would unlock it and then give you access to, if I want to jump to my messages, how are they going to know I want to go to messages versus, you know, anything else that might be up on that notification?
Yeah, good point.
And so I was a little bummed when this confirmation came out, because it makes it sound like, you know, that it is, the fingerprint scanning is going to be built into the home button. Apple had that patent.
Exactly.
Where it was going to be anywhere on the screen,
right?
And that
was
better, because now it can scan my fingerprint as I'm swiping to unlock, and it's all one thing. But I think it's going to end up having to be a two-step thing, only because then I can't. If it's not two-step, then I can't jump. You lose that feature that you have now. And I think a lot of people really like that. I like that feature.
Yeah.
So, you know, where I can jump right to whatever the notification's for. If it's an appointment in my calendar, if it's...
As do I. Nested. That's one of the features I actually use all the time.
But yeah. You're going to be able to turn the lock off, you know, just like with your regular iPhone.
Right.
So
it just seems more of an Apple design philosophy type thing to have the fingerprint reader be in the screen itself, which I'm sure they probably want it to be in the screen, I would imagine, because that would be a much cleaner experience.
It, you know, the technology is probably just not there. But I had this running theory, and now it's been totally blown, but I think I talked about it on my last show. My theory was like, oh, maybe, you know, because we've been hearing screen delays were delaying the iPhone 5S, and we were hearing fingerprint scanner issues have been delaying the 5S. I was like, well, what if they were just both the same problem? Right.
Uh-huh.
It seemed to make sense, but you know, there you go.
Well, hey, maybe we should wrap up with this story. This show's getting a little long in the tooth.
Is it? Oh, God.
Yeah, and I like long in the tooth shows. And with Adam on, I knew.
I knew.
I was like, this could turn into Megasode really fast. I don't think it would even be hard. We could just keep talking.
Like we've been talking, yeah.
Yeah, it just feels like we just started, Adam.
I know, man.
So refreshing. But I did want to talk about this article on Cultimac that Mike Elgin wrote. I thought it was really interesting, and it's about how Apple now creates markets before entering them. I had never really considered this, and his article is actually quite good. I would encourage you to read it if you haven't done so already. And he basically says that Apple, when they are going to be releasing a product, now has the... I'm sorry?
Or aren't
going to be releasing a product, which is the more interesting part, I think, creates an entire market of products. And to the point that you just made, Adam, I mean, even if they don't go into the market, these products get made. And an example would be like the iWatch. How many iWatches are on the market right now. We have the iWatch, which I actually thought was a joke product. I honestly thought it was a joke until I saw real press releases coming. And then we had the Pebble. And I guess Sony has a smartwatch, and I've heard rumors of other companies working on smartwatches.
Samsung's rumored to be developing one. Microsoft's probably got one. Microsoft had one. They did.
I'll be honest. I don't know if they can afford to come out with
radio frequencies to send, you know, like regular FM or AM radio kind of bands to send information to your watch.
Oh, really?
It's pretty interesting.
Did it actually work well?
I never had one, so.
Oh. Well,
couldn't vouch for it, but they had it. I think it was a typical infrastructure, you know, issue where it just wasn't. You got to build a lot of infrastructure to make something like that really work. So.
I see. I'm not really sure Apple or Microsoft could afford to come out with a Microsoft Watch after what happened with their Surface. I'm not even joking right now. I wonder if they'll actually keep going with it. But do you guys think that Apple does this on purpose? I guess that's kind of my question. Are they? Because this is like conspiracy spy stuff, right? People think that they're creating these markets and then entering. I don't think they are either.
No, I just think Apple the design team plays around with a ton of ideas. Even Phil Schiller said that, you know, we play around with tons of ideas and then you focus in on what's good, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then you have people that will leak an idea like the iTV, and it might not become a finalized product, you know, but everybody else thinks Apple's going to do it, so they jump. It's awesome.
It's awesome, and at the same time, it's just sort of like, why does... And didn't Steve Jobs comment on this? Like, we're tired of being the innovator for everybody.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Just like, we're going to do the cool thing, and everybody's going to follow. There's got to be other smart people. I know there's other smart people and engineers out there. Like,
I mentioned this at CES, like all the TV manufacturers, everybody kind of just seemed like lost in that they were just throwing ideas at the wall, waiting for Apple to show them what they should do on a smartphone.
Show us the way!
You know? It's just like ridiculous, you know? It just shows you how dependent other tech companies are on Apple's ideas, too.
We'll just wait around to see what Apple does and then copy it. And now they're not even waiting. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, that's right. They're trying to preempt them to get into the market, maybe just to make a few mil. you know, before Apple comes out with the actual great product that you'll actually want.
which is even worse in the context of what you were saying about Phil Schiller, right? Apple's just trying out like a million ideas behind the scenes. They're not actually taking those ideas that they're just trying out and making products out of them. So that's what's happening with these other companies, right? Is they're taking Apple's bad ideas, or maybe what could be bad ideas, or ideas that they end up discounting, and they're making products from them. I was like, oh, that's cool.
The sad part is, and I don't mean this to be snarky, but I honestly think it's sad that Apple probably throws away products that are better than a lot of the products that get released by these other companies. And Apple probably creates a version and they're like, yeah, this is cool, but maybe not good enough, you know, because they're just so – they have such a prestigious reputation of you know, innovating and creating like many, many, many versions of products before they actually ever set them free in the market. And they probably just throw away a ton of great stuff and they're just like, you know, this isn't good enough yet, and they toss it. And then you have these other companies – that just maybe one or two or three versions in, they are in love with the idea, but they don't really have a fully fledged or fully fleshed out product.
Yeah, so they push it out, thinking like,
yeah. And then they put the marketing machine behind it, which I just think is really the saddest thing. When you see a company, a big tech company, come out with a tablet and the tablet's not that great, but then the marketing campaign is slandering the iPad, and then you actually go use their product and you're like, this isn't actually better. The marketing isn't really that true. I just think it's kind of sad and maybe a little funny.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not out in public seeing a lot of people, you know, hand gesturing over top of their phones.
No. Oh, I have I have the S4 active right now.
It's cool. I mean, it's a cool concept.
I had to turn it off. I was like, that's just stupid, because sometimes I would accidentally like wave my hand over it and then the screen comes on. You
are
know,
we talking about the Samsung Galaxy phone?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to make sure. Yes. And then this is what really, really grinds my gears about those commercials that they play, because they'll show this feature and they'll be like, oh, can your phone, you know, microwave a bag of popcorn from 20 feet? And people will be like, no? Whoa, and they look all surprised, and they're super bummed that their iPhone doesn't have this ridiculous feature that no one is ever going to actually use in real life. Like the one that specifically I always see in commercials where there's like all the idiots around the smart guy who has the Samsung Galaxy phone, and he's like, oh, does your phone not pause when you look away from the video? I don't want that feature. Because I want the audio to keep playing, you know, when I'm blinking. I'm sure it's probably not that sensitive. And I also want the audio to keep playing when I'm not looking at the screen. I mean, think about how many times you look away from a video, especially in our generation.
Or
when
like
we're
if you're
multitasking.
Showing it to someone. You know?
Yeah,
right.
Well, and then it's worse if I don't know how well the feature works. I mean, maybe it's rock solid, but you know, from what I heard a lot of times, these features then have little weird quirks too.
Right,
so it's
right.
Like you look away and then it doesn't detect you looking back. And now you're trying to figure out, why is the video not starting? Or, you yeah, know, it's right. Like triggering prematurely because you turned your head 2 degrees. I don't know.
That's too much. 2 degrees is too much. Your video will pause and shut down and you got to go start using it manually.
But I mean, that's the whole, you know, feature thing. That's just like we're going to try everything to get something on a bullet list. And you're right about the poor marketing guys have to like take this now and try and sell it somehow, figure out a way to sell it to the public. Whereas Apple's more about the filtering, right? They're going to do that behind the scenes and they're going to look at the stuff and they're going to go, well, that's really cool. We could do this stuff. But where's the use case for it? You know, how is this going to make our consumers' lives better or more efficient? You know, it's not just that they're about the simplification and the filtering. And that's, I mean, I guess that's why I'm an Apple customer and not an Android customer. I'm a geek. I love the concepts that come out on these other devices. But at the end of the day, it's like, that's going to be a feature I'm not going to touch. And Apple's constantly about even features that they've released, taking them away, and people get all angry. But a lot of times that's about, hey, we tried that feature out and like 2% of our customers use it. So, you know, we're going to let that one go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're not afraid to kill the baby for sure. So to speak. Apple giveth and Apple taketh away. I think I just found our podcast episode title.
Awesome.
Well, hey, we should probably wrap it up there. Yep. Adam, thanks for being on. I hope you'll come back. It was a lot of fun having you on.
Yeah, this was a great time. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And if people wanted to find out more about you or talk to you, where would they go to do that?
MacCast.com, MacCast.com is probably the easiest place, or just search MacCast on iTunes. And I'm pretty much MacCast everywhere, Twitter, Facebook. Yeah. So I'm pretty easy to find.
Okay. Fantastic.
Google search for MacCast works too.
Excellent. And definitely go check out the MacCast podcast. You know, it's just one guy talking about Apple stuff, but it doesn't feel like one guy. There's a lot of content packed into every one of those episodes. So go check that out. It's on iTunes. And, you know, you can always follow me and Buster on iTunes if you want. We post funny pictures from the internet. We sometimes talk about Apple, talk about things that we're eating. Buster's BST3R. I am at Airfon. And this has been the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CallCast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening. And hey, make sure you go check out squarespace.com. Use the code CallCast8 for your Squarespace order. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. And we're clear. Woo! I'm like sweating a little bit. Hey,
okay, sorry.
We're pretty close, so I feel comfortable asking you this, but if I had like a serious case of alopecia and I need you to shave off your beard so I could glue it to my chest to have a like normal looking chest hair, would you do that for me?
You know what? I've done that for somebody already.
Was it Alex? Eve?
No,
I don't think that guy has hair on him.
It was for my friend. Like, she went as like has Morgan Freeman for a Halloween costume.
Yeah, and she needs some beard hair?
And she used like me and a couple other guys' beard hair.
For what?
For her beard. For her Morgan Freeman scraggly beard, man. For her old man beard. Sorry. I got off topic.
CallCast off topic. You know, honestly, I can't think of a better way to end the show than with that story.